Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Tech News Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Tech News Today for Tuesday, August 30th, 2011. Tech News Today is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account for 6 months, go to Squarespace.com and use the offer code TNT8. Welcome to Tech News Today. I'm Tom Merritt.
I'm Sarah Lane.
I'm Maya Zakhtar.
I'm Jason Owl.
And this is the show where we kick around the tech news of the day along with you, try to make some sense of it all. And joining us today, I'm very excited to have my old co-host Molly Wood from Buzz Out Loud on.
Woo!
Hey, Molly.
Hi.
Man, I miss you guys.
I know. We miss you, too.
I miss you, too. And I've never even worked with you.
Everybody looking all cute and whatnot.
Well, we're gonna have to have you up to the studio one of these days for something too, because we want to show it off to you. But thanks for taking the time.
I have a little bit of a bone to pick about not being invited to your party.
I wasn't invited. I had to sneak in.
I wasn't invited either. In fact, I was told expressly not to come.
And you didn't.
You don't work on Sundays. Stay out. And I didn't
believe that about Tom, but never about Sarah.
Actually, I was still driving. I was late. So I never made it. Let's kick off with a faster internet. Google and OpenDNS teaming up with several CDNs, content delivery networks, to make your internet faster. Now, the way content delivery networks usually work is they'll deliver extra stuff for websites, like video, like images, and, you know, some of the stuff that takes up a lot of bandwidth. And when they get a request, all they know is where your requests came from on the DNS server, on the domain name server. They don't know where you are. So Google and OpenDNS are fixing to change that with a new protocol called Global Internet Speedup. It's pretty fancy.
Well, they could have a better acronym.
I think it's Internet. It's Internet Speedup. It's Global Internet Speedup. That's the stupidest name I've ever heard.
Just call it GIS.
For short. Yeah. Its friends call it that.
Like, as in, GIS is going to be awesome.
GIS up your speed.
Yeah, there you go.
How fast? GIS fast.
GIS you up.
GIS up and gets in your internet. Anyway.
To be honest, it sounds like one of those things that I was like, wait, they don't do that? I mean, it seems so logical to sort of find your location and send it. Like, I do that when I go and download something from a, you know, the closest server.
Right, you can pick.
I just don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But what happens is the CDNs only know where your domain name server is from. They don't know where you're from. So this protocol will send a little bit of your IP address along with your request, so that even after it passes through the domain name server, it can actually tell where the request originated and say, oh, don't send that person in San Francisco packets from Austin, Texas. Send them packets that are coming from our server in Berkeley. And theoretically, you get faster internet.
So it's all local internet. So you're getting, making sure you're getting everything from your local providers.
Yes, like, edge serving.
It's kind of like a farmer's market. Yes. Local.
It's slow growth.
It's much faster.
It's all part of the slow internet movement for faster internet.
The slow internet.
The slow internet
somehow
makes it faster. There
works
you go.
Like that.
It's local.
Yeah.
You know, farmers market internet.
Locally grown, independently grown. So anyway, Google's public DNS is part of this. OpenDNS is part of this. So if you use those, you'll be experiencing it today when the code is implemented. CDNs that are participating are Edgecast, Contendo, and Bitgravity. So most people, most websites out there use Akamai and Limelight. The biggies aren't on board yet. Doesn't mean they won't. But you may or may not notice this happening to you. But yeah, it's, you know, speeding up the internet. It's a good thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was
really
interesting. I want to be excited about this. I mean, if I see faster speeds, then great. Although,
I like how the guy says, you won't see slower speeds.
Yeah, right.
Right.
We know that.
David Yulevich said, it's definitely not going to slow anything down. We're not sure how much faster it'll be, if at all, for you.
They all seem to be hedging their bets, partly because I'm sure that any of this speed depends on so many other factors, so many other limiting factors, like your router and your machine and your home connection. And so it's sort of like, sure, in an ideal world, if you can pinpoint at least the delivery a little bit closer to your physical location, that could theoretically speed things up, as long as there aren't a bunch of people on your network and your router's not crappy. And,
right, right.
Know, Some of your machines aren't still B instead of N or whatever, G instead of N.
And Gauchem points out in the chat room, it could give you lower latency as well. Even if you don't know speed, you may see fewer dropouts and stuff
like that.
Just
be pretty good for gaming then, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
You get people nearby instead of going through different...
More frames. Servers. Need more frames.
It just makes sense. Go guess.
Windows 8 is going to natively support ISO and VHD mounting, according to Rajiv Nagar. What that means, VHD is more of an enterprisey thing, but for folks like us, if we burn a CD or a DVD-ROM to an ISO in Windows 8, you'll be able to just click on it from Windows Explorer and launch it and mount it right there. You don't have to use any plugins. You don't have to use any silly things. You can just take that ISO and run it as if it were in a CD-ROM. And why that's interesting is because Windows 8 is going to be used not only on a lot of laptops that don't have optical drives, but also on tablets.
Yeah, I mean, this seems like a real power user kind of thing, too, on top of that. I mean, I've taken a lot of my CDs and DVDs and made ISOs already because I don't want to have to find them. And if you're not going to have that on a tablet, it's like, okay, great, just look on my network or maybe, I don't know, their app store. They can just drop in an ISOs and you can just go ahead and run them from there. I mean, I like this idea.
You could also back up a bunch of disks and then just mount them from a drive without having to find the disk. You could put them on a network drive. You could put them locally. It's going to make things a lot simpler, especially in the Windows tablet world. And I could see them running their app store this way, saying, hey, you know, Microsoft Office, just an ISO. It's the same ISO that we have on the DVD-ROM that you buy in the box software, but you can just download it and run it.
I love how there's still so much emphasis on thumb drives, too. It's like, well, just... You know, have your thumb drive with you, and that'll plug into your tablet. So I don't know if all the tablets except the iPad are going to end up having thumb drives because it's going to be so convenient for everybody, but it is.
Yeah, it is super useful, you were saying, Molly.
Yeah, I think it's super useful. I think that going forward, when they talk about the usefulness of being able to back up your disks and being able to just mount a disk image anywhere, they should come up with like a fancy Apple name for it instead of continuing to talk about ISOs ever. Yeah. But I like the idea that consumers will now have a simple way to like back up disks, assuming that we ever actually legalize that in the DVD world, and mount them easily.
Knowing Microsoft, it'll be called the Windows Disk Image Format.
It, almost certainly, yeah, yeah. And man, if they could come up with a sexy name for this, it'd be killer. But like, I think nobody's here is holding their breath for that.
No,
by the way, this is a little bit of a tangent, but Tom, you look really tan.
That is a tangent, and it has nothing to do with my ISO.
That absolutely is a tangent.
I know, but we don't get to see each other that much, and Jason looks tan too. Maybe it's just the lighting in there. I don't know, but you guys look great.
It must be the tan filter that we have on.
Right?
And I do not, so I get a little of that? Can you, Jason,
see if I can add some saturation to
be good.
Well, the sun actually shines in Petaluma, so we're all getting much vitamin D these
days. Why. Yeah. We don't have that here.
Yeah, I know.
That really was a tangent.
Uh-huh. You are a tangent.
Puntacular.
Okay, that's out of the way. Apple is temporarily closing the iTunes Match signups, which you may not know that they just opened up for developers last night. iTunes Match is that service that attempts to match all of your songs, put them in the cloud, and then if it can't match them to what they have in iTunes, it'll allow you to upload everything else that you've got so that you can have all of your music available in the cloud. I guess... it got too much developer attention because they said, you know what? We're kind of going to shut this down.
Ever done that before for any feature that they open up to developers when too many people in their developer program express interest, which is the whole point of the developer program?
I feel like it has, but I can't remember what the product was. They replaced the sign-up tools with a note saying iTunes Match beta testing has begun with an initial set of developers. Over the next days, we will continue to expand our testing. Please check back later.
I wonder how much of that, too, was... I mean, I assume that there was intense developer interest in it because it's a cool consumer feature, but I also sort of wonder how much of that was because a lot of confusion was starting to percolate about what the service did. There was the whole kind of back and forth about whether it was actually doing streaming. There still seems to be a question about... It seems to include the ability to let you upload songs that you didn't get from iTunes and then re-download them, which was something that was specifically disincluded when iCloud and iTunes Match was announced. And so I actually wonder if it's not sort of, if they're not trying to like shut it down a little bit and maybe get some messaging in order.
I was under the impression that they always would allow you to take your songs and put them up in the cloud, but that it just wouldn't be part of the match service, so that was extra. But this whole streaming thing has been interesting because a lot of people who implemented this, a lot of developers who implemented this, noticed that they could seemingly stream all of their stuff on their iPhones, and then Apple told All Things D, that's not streaming, that's technically playing while downloading, which is kind of what streaming is, except it just doesn't keep the file after you're done, right? It only streams what you need to play. So this could be a really clever ploy from Apple to say, okay, we couldn't get a streaming agreement from the record companies, so what we'll do is we'll allow you to play while downloading and just download it to the cache instead of...
But then how often is the cache being cleared? Because I've been watching a couple... earlier today, I watched a couple of videos that people shot of, look, okay, I don't think it's staying in my cache very long at all. As soon as I switch to another song and I come back to this song, like say I go into airplane mode on my iPhone or something, I don't have that song anymore. The cache is automatically cleared, but I don't know if that's the way it's going to be going forward.
Well, Apple showed a lot of interesting technologies through their patents. We've seen something like, I think one of the patents was you'd have a piece of the song, of the very beginning of it, already on your device, and you'd be able to stream the rest. Now, this just seems like another clever way to get around it. It's just, although I'm just kind of curious if the record industry is going to be angry at them. It's like, well, you're really streaming this. We didn't give you streaming rights. You're supposed to be downloading this. But Apple's just saying, well, look, it's just technically, we're not. We're actually allowing the download, assuming that it stays on the device.
At least according to All Things D, though, they're quoting an unnamed executive at a major music label who says that Apple does have the streaming rights.
With the little dance? That doesn't make any sense.
But that they have made this sort of philosophical slash design issue. They speculate over at All Things D that it could be partly because they don't trust the current telecom ecosystem handle the on-demand streaming, which certainly is arguable, although debatable. And the other one is maybe that, I mean, again, this is All Things D speculating, but sounds sort of Apple-y, that they want their users to think of the entertainment as something they consume on Apple devices, that they don't want it to just be like, sure, you stream this from your PC at work.
Well,
I think
whatever little dance Apple is doing with the downloading and the streaming and whatever, I don't think that is the cause for them suspending the developers' accounts. And the reason I say that is I may or may not have 812 songs remaining over and over again to be matched since last night.
It could just be like the server load. I mean, effectively, versus like just downloading a bunch of like iOS 5 or whatever that would be used for their servers. This is, you're uploading and matching. There's a lot of processing going on Apple servers. So that's probably why they like, okay, we got to shut it down because we did not expect you'd have a collection of 10,000 songs. Or 2,000
a couple of devs
songs.
In our chat room were saying it's just that they're getting hammered.
Yeah,
they can't have too many people using this.
That giant thing in North Carolina can't handle the processing.
Apparently not.
So if it goes public.
What about the giant thing in North Carolina? And what about when they release it? Isn't it supposed to be released pretty soon?
You know, they're probably just running this on those old X serves.
Well, and that's what, you know, in all fairness, that's why they do the beta tests with the developers, is to work this stuff out. So hopefully that's what all this means, is they're figuring out, oh, okay, we need to tweak this thing and that thing, and then we'll be ready.
Turn on that other machine, too.
We'll see.
That was the problem.
Well, I'm excited. I have a ton of crap on one computer that's in my iTunes library that I never really use anymore. So I'm paying $25 a year for this.
I may or may not have just jumped to 585 songs remaining. Wow.
Well, progress.
Somebody's watching.
Being made. Thanks, Apple.
All right. Let's take a break and thank our sponsor, Squarespace. Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog, as I did, because I wanted to whip together something really fast for a novel that I published over the weekend, and I didn't spend any time on it at all. I honestly spent 2 minutes saying, I just need to get something up that links to all the different formats and explains what the book is, and it looks good. I mean, it can look a lot better. All I need to do is spend more than 2 minutes on it, but just spending 2 minutes on Squarespace, I was able to throw something together that gets the message out and looks professional, looks decent. So why not check them out? You get online resources, special support teams, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All-inclusive service includes modules to build your website, import from WordPress, Blogger, Movable Type, and TypePad. Export, meaning that you're not locked in. You can take your data with you when you go. Flickr photo display, Twitter widgets, social media buttons, and more. Sign up for a free account. Doesn't need a credit card or anything. In fact, I haven't paid for my book site. I just went and signed up. I didn't use a credit card or anything. I just created an account, made the website. And if you decide to keep it, if you use the code TNT8, you'll get 10% off for 6 months at squarespace.com. Use the offer code TNT8, and we thank them for their support of Tech News Today. HP has given up on finding a buyer now that Samsung has said over and over, please go away, leave us alone, we want nothing to do with you. So now they're like, you know, maybe we'll just spin off the personal systems group. I think we prefer that anyway.
So is the guy saying, oh yeah, I went to the prom by myself. I went stag. That's what I was doing.
I wanted to go stag.
Yeah, exactly.
It was the right thing to do.
HP's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I truly cannot believe that HP has allowed a spokeswoman to go out and talk to the press and say the working, this is a direct quote, the working hypothesis is that a spinoff will be in the best interest of HP shareholders, customers, and employees. But we're going to go ahead and spend 12 to 18 months to figure out if that's true. That's what we think. We're going to employ the scientific method now and find out, and maybe we could have just shut our mouths until we knew for sure, but we didn't.
You know, but they have to say something now, right? I mean, this all started with the ham-handed way that they announced all of this, but now they've backed themselves into a corner, and they have to go out and tell the shareholders, okay, you saw those Samsung posts. We are still pursuing our strategic alternatives, and we still think that spinning off the personal systems group is the right thing to do. We're not going to go back on that, and we are, you know, doing our due diligence. The fact that it's going to take a long time is pretty normal. These things do take a long time to work through, having been through one before. But they have just worked themselves into a corner where everybody is doubting that they actually do know what they're doing. And then Tom Bradley, former Palm CEO, is out there because he didn't know about it until like 3 days before they announced it. So he's trying to do damage control on not only the systems group, which he may end up being a CEO of if it gets spun, but also trying to say, hey, you know what? WebOS, if we're ever going to possibly license it to people, we need to tell folks that, you know, it's a good business to be in. So he told Reuters some pretty vague things about the fact that if he were in charge of a standalone company, that they would work across all market segments, including tablets, ultra thin and all in one PCs, is what he said. And Reuters starts the headline: HP says it might make more touch pads.
Well, he also didn't mention phones. So HP's going to kill phones too?
Yeah, exactly.
No more logic.
I just feel like we're listening in on some sort of like thought bubble meeting where people are writing things on whiteboards. Maybe a good idea. Okay, you should, but we have these other options too, and it's all sort of being played out. Like, she didn't really think things through, and now they're backtracking.
Well, and they're saying a little too much. Like, yeah, you've got to say something about whether you're pursuing a spinoff or not. But you give at this point you give a terse statement and you get the hell out, because every time they talk, they make it worse. I mean, you really don't have to like say this is our. They say too many words for one thing. Also, though, the news just came out that HP is in fact bringing back the touchpad for one last production run for Q4 only.
Right. So this is different than Bradley saying we would like to still be in the business of tablets. This is Mark Budgell on the HP The Next Bench blog saying, yeah, we know you guys really like this. We're going to manufacture another round of them.
It's the farewell tour.
But only one more round as a farewell tour. Just to be clear, it's still only going to have a year of support. And we're going to let retailers price it at whatever they want.
Well, that's always been true.
So then the pricing will kind of be all over the board. We don't really know if it's going to be $99. Sure, that's always been true. But like, the reason people bought this thing was because it was $99. Exactly. I mean, it just feels... And then on the other hand, it's sort of like, well, are you going to continue making the tablets forever? Or if Samsung buys you, or if you spin off to someone, or whatever.
Then
you're also going to make this one round.
Molly, it's very clear. We are not making the touchpad anymore, except for this one last round, until we get back into the tablet game, if we are spun off.
Right.
I don't see how it could be any clearer.
Well, or we license WebOS to someone
else. To someone else to make touchpads.
Maybe Samsung, but probably not Samsung, because Samsung really wants us to.
Samsung apparently hates
Samsung,
us.
Maybe.
I mean, their Q4 ends October 31st, so it's like they have a good solid couple of months to make as many more touchpads as possible. I want Best Buy to be like, no, now they're $300 again, and just see how many they sell.
Hey, but you know what?
That's why they sold like hotcakes, is because people thought they were basically free.
We shouldn't forget, Steve Brooks wrote in and pointed out that those of you who are waiting to buy a touchpad,
like me,
like I as here, do get a 25% discount through tomorrow on all printers, ink, and HP accessories.
Yeah, I got that email as well. I was like, oh no, this is not about the touchpad. It's about printers or whatever other garbage I don't want to buy.
Everyone needs ink. Unless you're paperless.
Well, you could print to the touchpad.
Right.
$99.
Also, an HP spokesperson told CNET, we expect that HP touchpad owners can look forward to an over-the-air update that will enhance the platform and functionality.
This is truly the best dead platform ever. It constantly gets it gets updated. It gets revived on a piece of hardware that should be dead.
It gets free Angry Birds.
And more apps. More apps are coming for free for HP.
A couple weeks ago, Best Buy was like, HP, take away
take
the
them
stuff.
Back.
We don't want it, and no one else does either. HP is truly confused. They're a
HP
confused
was like,
company.
We can't take them back.
They had no idea this
we
would happen.
We don't have any room because we have all the parts from the HP TouchPad right. Go at the suppliers that they're going to ship to us, and we need to keep room in our warehouse for those.
Oh, and by the way, we have to spin off our PC division because our suppliers will never work with us again.
Suppliers
because
have been building
we left them because we left them with warehouses full of HP TouchPad Go.
HP parts. Taiwan pointed out it will maintain its promise to the partners, but the suppliers are sitting there saying, we ramped up for this thing. Now you're not going to buy it. Okay, you're going to pay for it. But meanwhile, we're paying for the inventory
any
and
chance,
we can't forecast any cost.
Any chance the TouchPad Go will be the one that's the one revived for the one last farewell tour for the
nah,
TouchPad?
I don't
they
think
have the parts.
So.
They're waiting there. They might as well get assembled and go, hey, just put
I
it
I guess they
there.
Could use the parts to build TouchPads.
Why not?
$50. Who was it? TouchPad Go, $50, 7-inch, $50.
And finally, in the HP Fallout segment, Trip Chowdhury, an analyst at Global Equities Research, believes HP's initial order for TouchPads was between 500,000 to 1 million units. So if they've sold out and they have to create a second round of manufacturing, he thinks, through his divining, that this would make the TouchPad the number two selling tablet.
The number one would be the iPad at over almost 22 million
far and
sold.
Away. Yeah, 22 million. Then Samsung has said they shipped 2 million, but they don't say whether they've sold 2 million. And Chowdhury doesn't think they've sold near 2 million. So he believes TouchPad would oust the Tab.
If Samsung had
especially
sold 2 million,
sell them in Australia,
that would be something
Germany.
They'd be proud of saying, right? So we would have heard that.
There's multiple tabs, too. I mean, there's the Galaxy Tab 7,
right,
and
right.
then there's the 8.9 that just got announced, and the 10.1. This would be the largest single like device that was sold up against
single
the iPad.
Single SKU.
Yeah.
Moral
yeah.
of the story.
Well,
$100.
$100.
$100, that's all you got to do.
Tablet pricing is over. Well, we had a user email us or a listener email us and say and make a really good point, which is that not only did this sort of semi-revive this platform, not only did it potentially kind of screw up pricing for tablets going forward or at least change the pricing market, it took as many, you know, at least 500,000 potential tablet buyers out of the market. And when you consider the overall size of the market, that's a pretty good chunk of tablet buyers who are now like, no, thank you. I don't need a Samsung and I don't need an Android tablet.
The only consolation for Motorola and Samsung there is they're probably going to buy iPads anyway. See,
all those people were probably going to buy iPads.
You didn't lose any sales.
Every device in my office just started telling me, I have a meeting!
All right, well, let's get our last discussion story. Google says that the Gmail attack was focused on Iranian targets. We mentioned this in NewsFuse yesterday, that a fraudulent certificate was out there pretending to be Google.com. Yesterday evening, Google posted a response saying people affected were primarily in Iran. A forum posting speculates it was users of Pars Online and other Iranian ISPs. Chrome users were already protected against the false certificate because Chrome actually does a hash lookup of all Google certificates to make sure they're authentic. Chrome, Fireworks, and Windows are now all no longer accepting DigiNotar issued certs. You don't have to do anything if you're a Windows Vista or newer users, Windows Vista or Windows 7. If you're Windows XP, you got to wait for a software patch. But they basically just nuked the entire certificate system. Anything coming from DigiNotar, they are not going to accept. DigiNotar, for its part, said, yeah, we got hacked a month ago. We didn't really notice it until July 19th, and we thought we had gotten rid of all the fraudulent certificates until Sunday when the Google one showed up. So sorry about that. The Google certificate was issued on July 10th, so there were 9 days when tons of fraudulent certificates were out there. And the fact that they missed the Google one makes you wonder which other ones they may have missed.
So it's probably a good idea to either start using Chrome right now if you don't, or if you're make sure your systems are patched, that kind of thing.
Or Firefox.
But this idea, I can't believe they didn't mention any of this. They're like, oh yeah, DigiNotar is like, well, there might be other certificates out there. Well, we don't know.
We thought we got them all. We really did.
We didn't need to tell you.
Yeah. So actually, IE too. IE and Windows Vista are above your safe for now.
IE 2?
IE as well.
Oh, I'm like, wow. If IE2 is safe.
IE2 may be safer than IE6.
Let's all go back.
Really being thorough about this
patch.
And nothing about Safari we were noticing earlier this morning. Not that anyone should be using that or presumably is because it's useless. But
and Opera users know better.
Nothing Opera about, users know better because they're the smartest users in the world, according to that bogus chart. Study,
yep. Nothing about Conqueror either, just so we
know. Oh, Sea Monkey is in there, though.
Sea Monkey is covered.
That's
exactly.
For you, Tom Merritt. Sea Monkey is covered.
That's part of Mozilla, exactly. Let's move on to the news fuse. I hadn't seen that. Jawbone introduced a new Bluetooth headset called the Icon HD, along with a USB adapter called the Nerd. Instead of having pair and unpair a headset to multiple devices, the combo would allow you to pair to a phone and a computer at the same time. So you'd be able to listen to a Skype call on your PC or your phone with one solution. This Is My Next says the Icon HD and Nerd aren't perfect, but it's a good idea.
Rams get about to get a whole lot cheaper, according to I always have a problem with this name. IHS iSupply. There's so many little and big eyes analysts. They base their claim on basic economics. Basically, there's going to be an oversupply, which will drive prices down by almost 25%. And this is obviously good news for us consumers, but RAM makers may be crying into their cereal because the prices are going to be close to cost. So that's not good for them. IHS iSupply says the price drop should happen in the third quarter of this year.
Google just got hit with a derivative suit, and that's not a math-based lawsuit. It's when a shareholder sues a company in which it holds stock.
It's an integral suit.
Patricia McKenna said that Google breached its fiduciary duty in not including revenue made from those Canadian drug ads in its financial statements. The suit also claims that Google should have known it was illegal for pharmacies outside the U.S. to ship prescription drugs into the U.S. There's no information on how much McKenna is looking for in damages.
They didn't even report the revenue. My God, that gets more evil by the second.
It's kind of looking bad. I know this could turn into something. Google's search results will be getting a human touch because Google has confirmed that it will study the clicks of plus one buttons, and those clicks will influence its search results. In a statement to Wired.com, a spokesperson said that the plus one button will be one of more than 200 signals that Google uses. So don't expect search results to be gamed by people clicking that button, but they are going to try to include the social graph from within their own social graph.
Yeah.
Plus bombing.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It'll be the new thing.
Facebook recently introduced that it would pay out a bounty to people who found security bugs at the start of this month. So far, Facebook has paid out $40,000 in those bounties. Facebook pays out $500 as a base payment for a security bug, but pays more for the discovery of major flaws. So it's hard to tell how many bugs exactly have been found. There is money being paid out.
$40,000, that's pretty good. Zite, the personalized news reader for iPad, which is kind of like Flipboard, but it's supposed to be smarter, was just purchased by CNN. All Things Deep reports that the acquisition cost was around $20 to $25 million, but CNN did not mention the purchase price in its official statement. Zite will be a wholly owned subsidiary of CNN, and it's going to be a completely separate business until, you know, CNN starts monkeying with it.
Interesting.
Groupon and Living Social are definitely the big dogs in the deal world, but they may be the only dogs soon. First, Facebook closed out its deals program. Now Yelp also stepping away from deal services. Yelp is cutting its Yelp deals staff in half. That means they're reducing numbers by half. They're not actually slicing the people. But that staff will be relocated in other divisions of the company. Whose deals biz will go bust next? Any guesses?
Amazon. I have a deals site.
I never use the Yelp deals. This doesn't surprise me. It's just...
Yeah, I didn't know that Yelp had deals, to be perfectly honest.
Right.
I bet we'll see Google not launch theirs.
Yeah, right.
Theirs is in like soft launch beta right now, right? In Portland or something, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Groupon out.
Yeah, Groupon's the next to fall. Sony, Toshiba, and Hitachi will combine their LCD-making efforts, according to Yomiuri Shimbun. The deal doesn't cover big-screen manufacturing. It's only small and medium sizes that find their way into phones and tablets. So, is this a trend? Samsung Electronics also plans to reduce its monthly television panel output by 4/5 by the end of this year and convert some of the lines to produce displays used in tablets and notebooks.
Nobody's making TVs anymore.
Yeah, who needs a TV?
But TVs are pretty over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that I have that Elgato tuner you can plug into an iPad, you don't need a television.
Two Pirate Bay founders launched a new one-click download site called Bay Files. Unlike the Pirate Bay, Bay Files will directly host the content but will provide no search function. Users must have specific download URLs to receive material. The Hong Kong company will respect any copyrighted files brought to its attention, removing them from the site and banning all re-uploads of the identical content. Yeah, sure. Right. Like Mega Upload or something like that?
Yeah, it is. It's basically they're starting a Mega Upload.
Okay.
So
good luck, guys.
The Pirate Bay guys sold out.
They're the man now.
They are. They're totally the man in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Our man in Hong Kong. Let's move on to the randomizer.
randomizer.
A
this
new
is about as random as you get.
Body liquefaction unit has been unveiled
upsetting.
In yes. a Florida funeral home. Now, we had different takes on this. I saw the Boing Boing headline, which quoted Dune saying, the flesh belongs to the man, the water belongs to the tribe. And so I went into the story thinking, oh, you know, it's just going to render down, it's water conservation.
And
from
I
dead
thought
bodies.
Of the episode of Breaking Bad. Where the tub went
much
right
darker.
Through the floor because you have to be careful what you liquefy inside of.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
No. I know.
The unit is built as a green alternative to cremation. The makers claim the process produces a third less greenhouse gases and uses a seventh of the energy and allows for complete separation of dental amalgam.
Lots of options when you're dead now. Aww. You can be liquid or diamond. You ever see that thing where you be compressed into a diamond? That's even creepier.
Is
you
it?
You can wear
or is it awesome?
Your dead uncle.
A gem, you know, for the people who survive you.
What would you put this? Would you put the liquid in like some kind of like hourglass?
Styrofoam cup with a straw.
This is not a Soylent Green story, okay?
I'm using my face as commentary because all my thoughts were like.
All I'm saying. Don't
I'm sorry,
buy
but
a smoothie.
Liquefaction vis-a-vis the human body is not a conversation I want to have.
Oh, there we go. Lava lamp. Uncle Murray could be a lava lamp. Thank
we should have
idea.
Gone. We should have gone with the USB random vibrator from Kickstarter.
That's
I'm pretty bummed that we didn't talk about the vibrator on the show.
You should have changed our mind.
Sorry,
in
Molly.
In this case, actually, the body is vibrated.
So there's a segue to be had.
It's totally true. The coffins go in, and the body is basically like shaken and then they pound. And
all I'm saying is,
I'm saying I read the story, and that was my mistake.
Never buying a smoothie in Florida. Let's move on to the calendar.
We talked about Samsung's new chat on service and where it was going to show up first. Samsung has launched the Bada Phones with chat on included.
Bada bing, bada phone.
Bada bing, bada phone. Samsung made its announcement today, and it's about the Galaxy S2. Sprint, AT&T, and T-Mobile are getting the phone. Screen sizes will vary, but Sprint gets the epically named Sprint Galaxy S2 Epic 4G Touch.
Oh, my God.
The nickname, I think, is just Epic 4G Touch, but the official name is that.
Well, I've been complaining. Like, why do they rename it? Why do they call it the Galaxy S2? So they're like, throw that in there. Shut Merritt up.
Canada, rejoice, because Samsung Galaxy S2 LTE is heading to Rogers for 4G fall debut.
Oh, even Canada gets it. They're
they
so
get
excited.
The fast one, yeah.
Good job, Canada.
Canada? Is that the new?
Yeah, because they never get anything.
Oh.
You can't. Like, you can't,
Canada,
you,
I love
you can't
that.
Have that, Canada.
Well, you can this time. T-Mobile BlackBerry Bold 9900 is going to be available tomorrow, starting on August 31st. The LG Thrill 4G is also going to arrive on September 4th, confirmed to come to AT&T. And Sprint's strategy update is happening on October 7th. And it's probably about 4G plans, although there have been some silly rumors that it's going to be about the iPhone.
Dan Hesse a while back said, you know, everything will become clear later this fall when we announce fast things.
It seems pretty.
So I think they're
obvious.
I think they're reabsorbing clear.
Maybe it's an iPhone that you can see through.
That's obviously what he was talking about.
Yes. Awesome.
Yeah. No, but October 7th, I imagine we might hear Sprint say they're switching to LTE. That's my wild guess.
Go Sprint.
That makes sense.
Their strategy, they will buy the other three. They're going to buy T-Mobile, AT&T, and Verizon. That's how they will succeed.
They're buying the FCC, and then they're shutting everyone else down. Let's move on to the email. Michael allegedly writes in. He calls himself Michael allegedly from Ottawa, Canada. Says, I'm really confused over people's problem with anonymity and Google's policy against it. If your name is Sarah Lane and you want to be anonymous on Google Plus, why not say your name is Tom Merritt? Or be creative and call yourself Lara Sane. It's pretty easy to make up a name that sounds real enough for Google.
That's not really the point, though, Michael allegedly, because if I was to call myself Tom Merritt, it's fooling Google because it sounds like a real name, but that's not any sort of pseudonym I would actually ever use. That's not necessarily.
She couldn't live with herself.
Couldn't sleep at night. Lara Sane is actually my fake superhero name, so that's actually fun for me, but it's not like that would be me being anonymous or using a name that I had built up for myself online in any capacity in the past.
That wouldn't help the, you know, the folks who have built up a name like, you know, Dana or Banksy or, you know.
Or Banksy.
Banksy's probably not the
exactly.
best example. Yeah.
Banksy doesn't want to show everybody his real name on Google Plus because then we'll know who he is.
And the other thing is, technically, you're still violating their policy. Now, they may or may not enforce this. In fact, I've talked to people inside Google who say, wink, wink, don't tell anybody. But if you just make up a name, nobody's going to find out and boot you out. But it still violates the policy because they do say you have to have a real name.
And I just don't feel like, I know you don't.
I'm not getting upset about this.
You just don't. I refuse to get upset about this. Why people want pseudonyms. I just, it's like, the point is not to confuse Google. It's to either be anonymous or use a name that means something to you that might not be on your birth certificate.
Molly, would you be upset if they found out that's not your real name?
I would be upset if they thought that I was the porn star.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, right? There's another person with your name. There's another person with my name. So real names, in some sense, doesn't even matter.
I think that's the biggest problem with the policy. I have come around to the policy, to be perfectly honest. And I think that partly because Eric Schmidt put it better than anyone, which was like, look, here's how we intend to use it. And you don't have to. You know, I still have a significant problem with what happens if you get booted off and the fact that your interaction with their other services is limited. But even that makes some logical sense because what they're saying is we don't want you to be anonymous. And so what you can't do on our services is leave anonymous comments. I don't love it. And I think that the biggest problem with it is the fact that a lot of people have the same name. Or if you're going to have celebrities or anybody with a nom de plume or a sort of taken name, you know, you've got to have a better way of dealing with that, I think.
Yeah. How does Bono deal with it? I mean, I that's a half joke, but half serious. Like, how do
I mean, didn't Dr. Kiki get kicked off? And I think I think Violet Blue had a problem also, maybe because that's like not her given name. I don't know what that problem was, but I think that it's kind of like Apple censoring in the App Store or something. Like that kind of thing is hard, right? Censorship is hard. And it sounds really easy to have a blanket policy against anonymity, but then what you also have is a policy against pseudonyms and a policy against sort of like alternate identities that may be only semi-anonymous or not anonymous at all.
Yeah.
Next email from BioCow, who says, shame on you, Sarah and Tom. I just listened to last Friday's show, and your report on GameStop offering a $50 gift card for people who had the free coupon to OnLive removed from their copy of Deus Ex, Human Revolution. Tom asked, can you still get it if you actually received your coupon? And Sarah responded with, and I quote, well, you just say I never got a coupon. And Tom agrees, yep. I couldn't believe my ears. Are you really promoting lying? Should we all just go out and get any free deal we can get, even if we're not entitled to it? I'd be curious to check your hard drives and see just how many free songs and movies you've downloaded. Tisk, tisk, tisk. Someone should call your mothers. Wow.
I happen to have on the line.
BioCow's right. I should call my mother.
BioCow, I was kidding. And if that wasn't clear, I am very sorry. It was Liquid Friday after all. Mm-hmm. That's all it was.
I said, yep, it's true, which is, you know, it's irresponsible.
Okay, now Tom's like, I was saying that's technically how you would do it.
In a court of law, you couldn't prove incitement.
Yes.
All right, you guys parse away. I have to run to a meeting. But,
all right. Well,
that I can't hear Tom weasel himself out of this one.
That is the end of the show, actually.
Oh,
so
well, look at that.
Before you go, let folks know where they can find Buzz Out Loud and all the other stuff that you do.
Yeah, totally. BOL.CNET.com and news.com/Molly-rants. My favorite URL in the entire world. And I'm going to be ranting a little more often. But if you want to go and yell at me about the Windows Phone 7 challenge, that's where you can go.
All right. Thanks, Molly. It was great having you on the show. Thanks so much.
I know. I missed you guys.
Thanks, Molly.
Bye. Of course, you can also put stories up for consideration at our Reddit, technewstoday.reddit.com is the place to go. You can vote stuff up or down, submit stuff. Thanks to Tie2Runner, Captain Kipper, CompFixer87, PCGuy8088, HateBadDesign, DL4Jones, and more for their submissions there. Tomorrow on the show, we have just us. Nobody at all.
Yes.
That's,
you know, sometimes you got to kick it
old
school.
You make it seem like we're chopped liver.
Yeah, no kidding.
For the heart and soul of this show, Tom.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know what,
absolutely
I think
right.
For that, we should kick him off on Thursday. No Tom on Thursday.
You know
what,
Tom?
No Tom on Friday.
Not tomorrow. Fine,
you people.
Why don't you take a walk?
I will. After tomorrow, I will not come back until next week.
Great.
Fine. See how you like it.
We'll love it.
In fact, I'm going to do a special episode of the show at Dragon Con on Saturday without you.
Oh, no, you didn't.
It'll be a show that's not a dictatorship.
I'm going to do it at 2:30 p.m. on Saturday in A609-1602 of the Marriott.
What a random place to choose.
I just made it up. That's where I'll be if you want to fly out and confront me.
No, we don't. We'll be enjoying our Tom-free Labor Day weekend.
Fine.
Yeah, we might even make it a Liquid Thursday. Huh?
That's right. Thursday.
That's just mean,
that
Jason.
That just happens.
Right there.
In your face, Mary.
That's just mean. That's it for this episode of Tech News Today. You can find us on the web, twit.tv/TNT. You can email us, tnt@twit.tv, or you can give us a call. Leave us a message. Please do. We didn't get any. We actually did not get a single voicemail.
No voicemails.
Today. 260-TNT-SHOW. That's the phone number. Or you can just record a voicemail or a video and send us the link. Do that as well, tnt@twit.tv. We'll see you tomorrow.